Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
On the line now to Dr. Roelof Botha, economic advisor to the Optimum Investment Group. We're talking about this, the latest insights into the financial resilience of South African households as reflected in the newly released Altron FinTech Household Resilience Index for the fourth quarter of 2024. The data paints a mixed picture. What exactly is that? We find out now from Dr. Botha. Very good evening, Dr. Botha. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us.
You're welcome. Thanks.
So we talk about an improvement. How modest is it? And also, against, and I want us to clearly draw distinctions. We had last week been talking about the take home pay index and how figures looked on that end. They had been a report of a year's improvement, and now that was slightly down in March. So how does this relate to this, if at all?
No, it doesn't relate to that at all, because we have 20 different indicators in our index. All of them are verifiable in terms of Stats SA or South African Reserve Bank data. All of them are expressed in real terms, and it's a composite index weighted according to the relative importance, and all 20 of these indicators have a direct or an indirect bearing on the average household's ability to generate revenue from whatever source, not only salary, but also dividends, rent, profits, etc. So we like to believe that ours is certainly more encompassing.
All right, so let's get into the crux of that. It's comprehensive. You say you spoke about some of the metrics that you look into. So maybe let's start off with the high level points, what it found, but drill down to some of the major drivers.
Well, if you look at the table, which tells you what the growth rates were year on year and quarter on quarter of the 20 different indicators and the index itself, then you immediately notice that there's a 36% increase in the withdrawals of lump sum payments from previous savings, which is good for household finances in the short term for obvious reasons, because they've got cash in their bank account and then in their pockets at some point in time. But it's not, it's detrimental to their long-term financial well-being unless they decide to work longer or find another a second job. Part-time job. So that artificially boosted the index to some extent to a 2.9% year-on-year real increase. If you freeze out that effect, the effect of the two-pot system, which we've also picked up at the Optimum Investment Group and probably at all the fund managers in South Africa, then the growth is not that impressive. It's 1.4% in real terms, which is still better than the economy as a whole. So there has been a marginal improvement in the median South African household's financial disposition.
So there is obviously the quality of pay, which is important, which has also been whether real beyond the figures that we get, but in terms of liquidity, has been dwindling over the years. The value of the rand a lot less than what it used to. So I'd imagine even the debt costs of households have been increasing at that level.
If the debt costs of the household, as how one should look at that, is not in absolute terms, because if your debt increases with the same ratio as your salaries or your income is increasing, then it's not a problem. But if your debt costs are increasing at a higher rate than your salary is increasing, or your income in total, your disposable income, then you've got a problem. And that's exactly what's happened. And that happened as a direct result of the Reserve Bank's Monetary Policy Committee decision in the beginning of 2022, end of 2021, to take interest rates in South Africa to their highest level in 15 years, which was absurd. It was a mindless decision as far as I'm concerned. And we have had now three marginal interest rate cuts, 25 bits each, but the prime overdraft rate of 11% in South Africa today is still 100 basis points higher than it was before COVID. And it was too high then. And inflation was higher then. So there's no reason for the MPC to keep rates at this level. The prime rate in South Africa should be 9%, not 11%. If that had been the case, then this index would probably be growing at 3, 4, 5%.
So if you could just take us through the four quarter average of the index and why you say by definition eliminates seasonality, if you could just take us through the figures and what they mean then, based on what you've just said.
Well, yes, the four quarter average, if one analyzes in depth, is necessary to eliminate seasonal variances, because it is not possible for us to do a seasonal calculation on all 20 indicators. So what happens with what has happened traditionally with this index is that in the fourth quarter of every year you have a spike for the simple reason that many South Africans get year-end bonuses and they spend the money and they save up for that type of expenditure, etc. And kids get pocket money, etc. So it spikes. It used to do that all the time. Until COVID hit us. And then things went haywire. And then after COVID, it started to following the same trend, but then the Reserve Bank started raising rates. And that caused chaos again. But right now it's been reestablished. But the four-quarter average, obviously, because it's a moving four-quarter average, every four-quarter average data point has at least one of the four quarters in it. So that eliminates the seasonal effect. And what is a little bit concerning to us is that the four-quarter average is not much higher than it was before COVID.
Mm-hmm. And when looking at the economy and the cost of credit, you've said this is why the economy has been lethargic in terms of growth. I want to understand, especially put it against revenue. You've said that SARB is out of sync with key trading partners, or at least the report says that. So what exactly does that mean, so that we could understand how it then all works and how it relates to the household?
Most countries, when they are experiencing very low or negative growth, or they expect a recession perhaps to occur, their central banks will lower rates. This has happened now in Canada, Australia, Switzerland, the Eurozone. In South Africa, a month ago, the Monetary Policy Committee had a meeting and they decided to halt the rate cutting cycle. I was so disappointed because we have very slow growth in South Africa. Our problem is not inflation. I just want to remind the listeners that our inflation rate of 2.7% is below the bottom level of the Reserve Bank's target range, which is 3%. There is no reason whatsoever to keep interest rates at this level. The higher the interest rate, the more your average household has to sacrifice from their income to service their debt. It is not intimidating economic theory, this.
So I also want to relate, and carrying on the conversation from what you're saying, how South African households then manage. We mentioned earlier on that the price of petrol is going to decrease as from tomorrow, but as per, you know, the monetary management of our finances, the geopolitics obviously have had an impact on economic growth prospects, but also a decline in expendable cash. So let's talk about what should be happening on that front in managing the economy. The value chain is about to get further constrained with these continuing geopolitical tensions. So what should South Africa be looking at in making it easier for households?
Yes, just a quick point. The geopolitical tensions have not impacted on us at all. Our problems are self-inflicted in this country. Our 10 biggest export trading partners for high value added products, which excludes metals and minerals, which you just dig out of the ground and you ship it out of the country, except for the stuff you use here, like coal, obviously, for our power stations, or most of them. Out of our 10 major export trading partners, half of them, five of them, are SADC countries: Zimbabwe, Namibia, Botswana, Mozambique. We have a solid regional economy down here, and what we should be doing is not to worry so much about what's happening between China and the U.S. And the tariff war. It may impact marginally negatively on one or two of our sectors, but we should be improving the logistics infrastructure within the whole SADC region so that we can start buying more from each other.
Okay, so that's why I'm asking. If we're talking fuel, for instance, that obviously impacts on transport costs. So what should we be doing to ensure that predictability that will help drop the price of some of these commodities that ultimately make it harder for households?
We've just spoken about the lowest inflation rate in many years. Inflation is not our problem. Inflation is not a household's problem. Households' problems are related to the fact that their debt servicing costs have increased at a tremendous pace in the last 3 years because of, let's call it, a not very sensible monetary policy approach. If you can lower interest rates, you lower the cost of capital. Okay. You will have more investment in businesses, and obviously households will directly benefit from that. The minute you create one job, the minute you create one job in this country, you are broadening the tax base, which provides government with a little bit of luck if they spend the money wisely with the means to improve the logistics infrastructure, which will create more jobs because construction, the most labor-intensive sector of the economy. So that's what we should be doing, is coordinating monetary and fiscal policy to be more growth-orientated. But monetary policy is not doing anything in this regard. That is the big problem.
All right. So you say better management of cash flow and expenditure, that'll create financial resilience metrics. Thank you very much for speaking to us and sharing your thoughts and insights with us. That is Dr. Buerta. He is, Dr. Rulof Buerta is the economic advisor to the Optimum Investment Group.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.